Warning.
This is the most important
podcast
of our lifetime.
Hello, everyone.
What is Hoppatarian?
So what is Hoppa? So when you put together Hoppatarians, what is that?
You know the thing.
They're here to awkward it up for you guys.
Which is a very interesting and beautiful mix of humanity.
Anyone has a podcast?
You're an extremist.
Shut up.
All right, let's get to it. Hey, what's happening? And welcome to the Hoppatarian Show, the number one podcast that celebrates Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month by not celebrating it. Please don't forget to subscribe, leave a 5-star rating, and in the comments, tell us how much you love the Hoppa ethno state, because we know you love it. Our guests today also don't celebrate Asian American Pacific Islander Month, but they do celebrate typos. It's the hosts and executive producers of Trad Queen Story Hour, Sour Patch, Liz, and Andy. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you guys?
Oh, typo in every twit.
Twit, yeah. Yes. I promise it.
What's happening, guys?
Oh, I like that.
What's happening?
Yeah.
No one said that to us in a long time.
It's good. Nice.
How's it going?
Yeah. We're hanging in there.
Yeah, we're doing okay.
It's been rough, not gonna lie, but
yeah,
hopefully things have been better for you guys.
Yeah, we're chilling. We're gonna move down to Florida. Very exciting.
Very busy. A lot of stuff going on at once. We're pretty busy at my job at Public Square. We're getting ready to move out to Florida. So Public Square is moving out to Florida. So that's why Lydia and I are moving out to Florida to work on that. We're packing and also, you know, working long days. Sometimes I have enough time to help Lydia a little bit with the show.
Yeah. I feel like I'm learning a lot. I'm doing all the technical stuff behind the scenes and Andy's kind of coaching us as we go along. So it's fun staying busy, keeping up on the news. It's a good time. Oh,
yeah. And then you also just announced your pregnancy recently. So congratulations again.
Thank you.
Yeah, I guess that was a factor too in the busyness.
Yeah. That is a factor. Yeah. A lot more appointments than before, but yeah, so far so good. We're looking forward to it. So
a lot less energy to do things on your side.
Yeah,
since you're
kind of complaining a lot, but oh well, it's all good.
Well, you're busy building a person. So.
Yeah, and I get to a little bit, I guess.
That was my excuse too. Like if I felt like I wasn't doing anything, well, I'm building a person right now. So that's my job.
Yeah. It's a full-time job.
That's fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like Florida is a good state to raise kids though.
Yeah. They just passed a bunch of cool bills as far as family goes. And I was reading something about how they compensate for like baby and kid items, which is super cool. So I'm really glad we're waiting to get all that stuff. Yeah. And they don't have income tax. So I'm stoked for it. They have problems. Right. It's all good, but I'm excited. It's going to be good. If hot, it's going to be hot.
I was going to say, I'd rather be hot than cold. So I'm pretty jealous.
Yeah. 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 It's super muggy. Thankfully, baby's not due till October. So hopefully it's kind of cool then, but I'm not holding my breath, but it'll be all right. Still excited. It's gonna be good.
The thick of the pregnancy is gonna be it's gonna be in the 100%
100% humidity. Yeah. It's gonna be good. Swimming through the air. So,
but we'll be close to the beach. So
yeah, that'll be fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just stay inside. Wear compression socks. Turn up the AC.
That's the plan. No, I'm excited for that.
Needed to get some compression socks.
And, yeah, I do. Yeah. I got to find those. Yeah.
So actually kind of that's where we wanted to start was just the whole parenting. Have you done any kind of like adjusting with that whole thing? Because, I mean, obviously it's a huge, huge thing that's going to be happening in your lives, a big change. Of course, like with moving to Florida, that's a big thing, obviously. But is there anything else, like maybe a mindset or just how you've kind of perceived parenting before all this? So how's that whole thing changed and all that?
I've been enjoying learning. Mostly I've been learning about the workup to having a baby, not so much about the child rearing itself. But I was talking to Andy about it today, and I said, there's no way that our kid is not extremely strong-willed. So we're going to have to prepare ourselves for that. And we read the first chapter out of... Oh, they disappeared.
Oh, yeah, guys.
No, they figured it out. They made us big. Remember?
Yeah. Oh, we're full of surprises.
I know. We read the first chapter out of Baby Wise, and they lay the foundation of being like, okay, you need a strong marriage because any discord in your marriage is going to affect your baby. And I that's smart because Andy has this idea that we remember things that we don't technically remember, like from the time you're born. Makes a difference to you whether you realize it or not. I think that's probably true. I mean, our earliest conscious memories are from when we're like 3 years old, but our brains are building like crazy before that time. So got to be stuff in there that makes a difference to us. So yeah. We've been working on our marriage, making that stronger, which is good. That's an adventure too. And then, yeah, so I'm thinking we're going to like Baby Wise, but you're going to get all kinds of different advice about baby books. Like I was talking to Bethany Mandel and she's like, I don't read kid raising books. She has six. And she's like, they're all so different.
She's the first three to kind of figure out the last three.
Practice with the first three and then the last three are good. You just kind of fly by the seat of your pants and go based on what your kid is like, which I think is a good policy. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
I think that's probably true.
Yeah.
Because we tried to read a bunch of stuff beforehand and then everything didn't go as planned.
Yeah. So. Nothing ever goes as planned. Like you have this big plan for the birth or whatever, and then surprise, you need a C-section or whatever and go with the flow, man. It's all good.
Yeah. Well, like to expand on what she was talking about, it's not like some, you know, there's a lot of people who kind of have a mystical sort of idea about like kids kind of absorb, like, you know, I don't know, all the Freudian things and stuff like that, which I don't think it's in terms of that. I don't know how much of that is true or not, but the way that I think of the development of a baby's brain is, you know, it's growing more than any normal, you know, adult ever will. And every second of its life, it's just like building its reality. You know, so it might not have like a way to construct a coherent memory at that time, but everything that happens to the baby is, you know, it's building its reality on that. And then that's kind of the foundation that's laid before it's able to form memories for the future. So,
yeah,
that's why I think it's like, you know, people think, oh, don't worry about it. He's not going to understand what's going on. Like, It's hard to say how much a baby will take in and kind of, you know, maybe they won't fully understand it, but they could usually tell kind of probably things like what's right and wrong and what's, you know.
Well, like this book is saying they can sense the vibe. Like they'll sense if there's unrest in your relationship. So I'm fully inclined to believe that because to me that just makes sense. But we'll see. Well, I have no idea what's going to happen. We haven't had kids before, so.
A little practice, out there, yeah.
Yeah, we got a puppy. She's shouting out there right now, but that's the closest thing we've had to a puppy. It's because the dogs are barking outside.
Yeah, like, we need to on or off on right now.
Yeah, we have a puppy sitter right now.
Yeah.
It's all good.
I do. So you read Baby Wise, the book?
I started it. I haven't gotten
all over it. The only reason I read that was to learn about wake windows, which, because like in the beginning, I was so exhausted, couldn't get him to sleep on any schedule, but that book helped a lot.
Yeah. I also have The Happiest Baby on the Block, and that one looks legit. I try swaddling. So you like swaddle and you make sure you have the right sound. So it's got to be like kind of loud white noise. Mm-hmm. You got to jiggle them, not shake them. You jiggle them like on your knee or whatever. Mm-hmm. Because when you're bounce. Before they're born, right, they're constantly moving and they're exposed to this really loud noise. He can hear me right now. They them can hear me right now. We don't know what it is.
They them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never know.
Referring to it is they, them.
Yeah.
Like in the Instagram post that you posted.
They were like, why are you calling it that?
Yeah, there's a lot of people that got really mad. They're like, I can't believe that you would stand against all these things and then you cave to their woke language. Or what did she say exactly?
Yeah, you're kind of caving to it right now. And I'm like, okay, well, first of all, it's hilarious. So shush. But also, we don't know if it's a boy or a girl. So I feel like that's really the only time you can use the expression they to refer to your kid, right? Mm. True, there's only one, but we don't know.
Better than saying it, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's a human being, so I'm going to call it a person. Them, a person.
He or she is just too clunky. So.
Yeah, so it's shorter to call it them, so that's what we're up to. But yeah, the wake windows thing sounds vital because I don't know how I'm going to survive without sleep. I'm genuinely kind of concerned about that. But
yeah,
you guys survived.
Yeah, I underestimated that. Like, I didn't really even think about it until that started happening, and I was like, I don't know how I'm gonna get through this. I'm gonna die because
you get like this level of energy that you didn't know you had until you know, like you're running on 3 hours or even less than that, and you're just like, how am I still awake and doing all this stuff? I don't even understand.
Delirious, yeah.
Yeah.
And it sounds awful. Man.
Yeah, but I mean, like, that, at least for our experience, the first 3 or 4 months were definitely the most difficult. But then once you get past that,
it got better.
It got, yeah. I mean, it didn't get easier, but it definitely did get better. Yeah, you get used to it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You adjust.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
Our son, well, I don't know. Some people get their, like, some babies are like easier than others, but our son didn't sleep through the night until like 18 months. So it was like a year and a half of sleep deprivation.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Oh man. Did you try to sleep during the day then? Or they say to just sleep when the baby sleeps. Like you don't have chores and a life, right?
That's such, I don't know about that advice. Cause it's like, oh, the baby's sleeping, but we're on a walk. Am I supposed to drop the stroller?
Yeah, just lie down on the floor.
You can sleep walk.
There you go. You're going to be doing that.
That sounds really difficult. Or like the baby sleeps in the car. Oh, okay. I guess just pull over and go to take a nap now.
Safe. Yeah, definitely.
It's so hard for me sometimes to get in a regular sleep schedule just with the two of us. So like, you know, sleeping whenever some little baby is sleeping, that wouldn't
work. It's not going to happen. Yeah. I'm going to designate to him on the nights when he can't sleep. Be like, hey, you take care of the baby so I can get some sleep. That's the plan so far. We'll see what happens.
Take shifts.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're able to get 3 to 4 hours of sleep, that's going to be like heaven for you.
Man.
You're going to be like, oh man, I got 4 hours of sleep. Oh, I feel so fresh. I can do anything now.
Oh my gosh. They're scaring me. I don't like that.
It'll be fine. You'll figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Hopefully, maybe this one's an easy one because I hear that's how they trick you into having another one.
Yeah, we should.
That's true.
That.
Some people get a super easy baby the first time, and then their second one is totally different.
Yeah, I hear that.
That's what everybody says.
Yeah, as soon as you figure out the first one, the second one comes along and just turns everything on its head. I'm like, oh well, that sounds like
we should be getting our easy baby next time then, because I feel like we did everything on hard mode.
I hope so.
Yeah, it definitely like matures you in a way that, you know, you haven't felt before. I don't even really know how to phrase it right, but you just become a completely different person. Not just because you're not getting to sleep, but for real, the mental and the fact that, holy, I'm like, there's a baby and this is my baby. I'm taking care of it. It's so crazy. And you know, and then we're not trying to like scare you or anything. It's just, I mean, your experience is going to be completely unique to anyone else that's raising children. So, I mean, you know, we have a unique experience. You're going to have one, and it's definitely life changing. And it's something that, like, anytime you hear that, you go, you know, I don't know. Like, cause you know, hear a lot of people be like, I don't really want kids, but then once they have it, like, wow, I wish I had gotten this done sooner.
Right. Right.
Like, do you kind of feel like that too? You're just like, man, I mean, obviously you
can't control when you meet your significant others.
So right. That's true.
Like you said, everyone is different. And our timeline ended up being a little more delayed than some people, but would not change it for the world. Like the tough times that we both been through, made us into way better people, stronger people, and like really grateful to be where we are now. So I'm happy. I'm pleased with where we're at. I'm excited for the future. So
yeah, I don't think I would have been really ready. Not that I'm like, I feel ready now, but I'm at a point where I kind of understand, you know, what everybody's always saying about having kids. It's like, oh yeah, nobody's ever ready to have kids.
Right.
Yeah. In the history of the human race.
Yeah.
And it's just, once you accept that and that you will do your best and hope for the best.
Yeah.
You know, then maybe that's what ready is for.
Yep. It's a mindset. Tackle this and do the best I can. I mean, that makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, so we're both in our 30s now.
So are we.
Are you?
Yeah, that's a good time, right? Being in your 30s, I feel like, is when life kind of settles out. And you're like, all right, okay, I feel like I've gotten all my crazy whatever out of the way. Now I can kind of chill, reassess where I am, and kind of figure out where I'm going now. And it seems good. So, yeah.
Become a real adult.
That's right. True adulthood starts when you're 30.
Yeah, adulting, they call it.
Oh, yeah.
I was just going to say that you're mentioning that you feel like, would you say you're happier now than ever before? Because I wanted to read a tweet of yours, and I want to know that, like, how you feel about it. I mean, obviously you tweeted it, so maybe you kind of know. I don't know if you feel any differently. It wasn't like you did it like.
Who's that, mine or?
Oh, no, Lydia, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
I should probably direct who I'm talking about. But anyway, so this was on April 24th this year. This is one of your tweets, Lydia. This isn't like I'm trying to like bash you or anything, so just get ready.
Anyway. Well, I said it, I'll stand by it.
here are the happy people in the U.S. One, people who are married or who respect marriage. Two, people who believe in or respect God. Three, people involved in their communities. Four, people who don't attach inordinate value to finances. It's not too complicated.
Yeah. So I was listening to, I forget who it was. It was somebody on the Daily Wire who was reading statistics about this. And they're like, okay, so here's what these people have in common. Right. And I was like, that's really simple. That doesn't sound unattainable. Right. But you can see where our society is so, it's wrong. It's really, really wrong. It's really broken. Like, we don't understand the value of marriage. We don't think it's trendy to be monogamous. We're just reading about how polygamy is becoming codified, like more allowable and more accepted for like employment benefits and hospital visitation stuff. And I'm just like, why are we doing this? Like, have we not gone far enough away from traditional marriage to notice that it's not working? Are we just going to try everything before we're like, okay, none of this is making me happy. Maybe I should go back to the way things were. Maybe we as a society have to do that. But I have been hearing positive things too, where Gen Z and millennials are starting to think more seriously about stuff like church. And I'm like, that's great, because there's your opportunity to volunteer, right? There's your chance to find your community and find people who need your help. Like, they're going to need childcare. They're going to need like people to, I don't know, clean up after service or whatever. And it's like, it's very neatly rolled into one. You find your faith community, and then you also have like a real structure. When you're sick, they can bring you meals and stuff. And I'm like, that would make you happy. That would make you feel like you had support and like you had a system to fall back on. That's really important for people. And I think we've kind of discarded it. It's made us really crabby.
Yeah. One of the things about like kind of the like institution of churches has gone away. It's gone like out of fashion over the last, 100 or so years?
50-ish, yeah.
Yeah, mostly in the last 50 years, probably. And it's like that was the standard, like that was a standard like piece of the fabric of society for thousands of years before that, some kind of church or another. And then all of a sudden we just dispense with it without replacing it with anything. really.
Right.
You know? And so even if you're not religious, you still have to stop and think, like, you know, isn't there maybe some pieces of that that we're not necessarily replacing with something at all, or maybe something at least as
substantive.
Yeah.
Well, I think we can really feel the absence. Like, people feel disconnected. And I know we have social media, right? Where we go on and we can meet people. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's not meeting people. You know, it's not sitting down functionally face to face like we are now. You're just getting their curated version of themselves, best pictures of themselves on Instagram. Look what I did. Look at my cute puppy. And that's it. You're like, oh, does this person have sleepless nights? Are they depressed? Do they get discouraged? You don't know. All you see is the perfectest version, and you're not actually building a community. And we feel it. I think that's part of what makes us really depressed. I think that's why most of us are on antidepressants. Just sad.
Yeah, it's like they say with, I don't know who they is, but I'm going to say it. So, like, Instagram, like you were saying, is that perfect version that the person who's presenting it, that's who they wanted to be. All that's who they want to be right there. And then Twitter is the complete opposite. It's just a place where, you know, you throw shit all over the place. Yeah, let's see what sticks. Fuck you, I don't like it. Everyone's like arguing for over the, like, the dumbest stuff ever.
Just the words,
right?
Yeah.
And I'm sure some of that conversation is warranted, and some of it's actually meaningful. You know, I mean, we met on Twitter, so Twitter, at least to us, is great. in that capacity. But then you see some of the things on Twitter, it's like, why am I on this? Because you complain about Twitter, but then you're still, I'm still scrolling on this for another half hour. What else is going on Twitter, you know?
Right. Well, it's like a fast reel of what's happening. And I have always liked the news. Like, I literally remember my first political realization, my first cultural realization when I was like 11. I remember where I was, and I was like, oh my gosh, if feminists actually cared about women, they wouldn't be telling them to be overweight, because that's going to shorten their lives. If you cared about women, you would want them to see their grandkids, right? So I was like, okay, so feminists don't care about women. What else is a lie? And I was like, okay, people who say they hate racism are actually acting like racists. And I was like, oh, this is the way the world works. That's interesting. So when I met Twitter, I was like, whoa, here's everything super fast. I like that about it, right? I'm like, okay, what's going on now? I'm not going to go to a news site. I'm going to go to Twitter, where I directly commune with a bunch of journalists who are like spitting this stuff out 24/7. So I think it's great. It's just not maybe for everyone. You have to be okay with the poop slinging.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot of I just kind of started using Twitter sort of this year, because basically, you know, in the IT, and especially like in the InfoSec world, that's kind of where all the stuff breaks and things
stuff
like that
happens. Yeah.
You know, and obviously Lydia's on Twitter, so I always want to keep track of her and stuff. So I don't know, I've been trying to kind of like meter my use of it as much as possible, although I found myself, you know, stuck on it more and more often.
That's probably
something I should be careful about, because it's so easy to just, you know, it's so addictive. It's so easy to just spend an hour and not realize that
you've
been scrolling for this whole time in like one thread that's about something that you've never heard of before. And you're just like,
You're kind of learning, but you're also just kind of seeing what other people think of it.
It's like people watching
than
anything. Yeah. It's like, wow, these people exist, huh?
Yeah. What about that?
Like, what do they think? Oh, no.
Yikes.
That's no good.
At least they're telling you what they really think, I guess, right?
Yeah. I mean, and it's not quite the same as like having, you know, going through like, even like Reddit back in the day was pretty open to just about anybody. But like, you know, 4chan, I've been on a few times, and like, you know, you can find just about anybody in those kinds of seedy parts of the internet. And Twitter has like a very sort of, you know, it's like a PG-13 version of that, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not so bad.
Yeah. Reddit can definitely be a good time.
Yeah.
Right.
I was never on 4chan. I mean, I browse Reddit just for the interesting stories, but I don't post anything.
Well, the one of the reasons why we even started this whole thing was the whole Our Hoppas subreddit.
That's true. There was a subreddit for Hoppas, but it was just self-hating people, like mad that their mom and dad were different races.
I don't know who I am. What am I?
Okay. All right. So Hapa is half Pacific Asian.
Oh, correct? Okay. Right.
One of his characters.
Yeah.
Half Pacific Asian. Okay.
Yeah. Hapa. Yeah.
So hence the joke at the beginning of the show where we said we celebrate it by not celebrating it.
Yeah, it's great.
What is half Pacific? So you're just
so Pacific, like Pacific Islander. That would be like Samoan or whatever, like Hawaiian.
So like a
they're like all half, that stuff.
Half that there. And half something else. Is that
usually white? Because I think if you're half black and half Asian, they call you Blake.
If you're Asian. Tiger Woods, then you're good because you're awesome. Like you can actually play golf really, really well.
But yeah, we had friends who were half Chinese and half African American, and they called themselves Blasian. Which I thought was great. I was a little bit jealous because I was like, I don't know, I'm just white. That's cool though.
You're a self-hating white
woman. No.
Tim Pool's like a
good segue.
Yeah.
But yeah. Speaking of race, we're gonna speak about race now.
Oh great.
Oh boy.
You want me to do it?
Yeah.
Was it this one? Is this one right?
Yeah.
Okay.
New York Karen.
Oh yeah. The big controversy that's been going around is this lady, quote unquote lady. Never mind. Karen. So the title of this, NYC hospital Karen paid for city bike at center of viral fight with black man lawyer.
According to her lawyer,
So
go ahead.
I'm assuming you both have watched the video.
Yeah.
I kind of listened to it.
Yeah, well, I just
read analysis and stuff, and I kind of listened to them yelling at her, and I was like, yo, that's not cool. But
I saw it. One thing that, you know, jumps out at me right away is that this is a pregnant woman, and it kind of doesn't matter, like, who's stealing the bike if somebody is. Like, if a pregnant woman is stealing your bike, like, you, like, don't manhandle her on the on the belly. Like, that's pretty... And it's, you know, it's just a weird situation there. And then what makes it the worst, though, I mean, it's clearly it's just a misunderstanding or maybe somebody was intentionally being deceitful or something. But then, you know, it's what people around it kind of who is that guy who tweeted out something about how she's a white supremacist?
Is it Benjamin Crump? Benjamin Crump.
Yeah. So. And then somebody said, how did you get that that accusation? Like, where does that come from? And he basically, what did he say? He said, well, she was being mean to black people. So,
yeah, well, probably made a historical comparison. So, like, if this is like Emmett Till level nonsense of racism.
Oh, come on.
I'm not sure if he said that. I will say that if he's saying that this is what caused black men to be killed, then he's referring to lynchings, which would be directly linked to Emmett Till, which is absolutely mind-blowing.
Did he say Emmett Till?
I'm just saying I think it's probably happening.
Oh, we should clarify
I didn't
that.
See the tweet itself, though.
Want to falsely attribute words to him, considering what he's done. So, and the way that he phrased it was, it was accused white supremacist, and somebody said, that's where it was. So he said accused white supremacist, and then somebody said, who accused him of being a white supremacist?
What?
So it's an accurate statement technically
correct,
and he's actually technically an accused pedophile, I believe.
I heard that too.
Oh boy.
Ooh, what can I say? Thanks for introducing that. Yeah, that's great. Appreciate
oh I'm
that.
Sorry. I know that's not good for the
not
tubes.
Good for the algorithm. You can take that out if you want.
Yeah, we can edit that out.
But yeah, what did you guys think about that?
So I guess just in case anyone hasn't watched the video, there it's all over Twitter or probably TikTok and Instagram too. But so there was this woman who was shown on video, and it looks like the people who were harassing her took the video. they were insisting that she was stealing their bike, but later it came out that she had paid for the bike already and she had receipts.
Literally showing, receipts.
Yeah.
Yeah. She came with receipts, literally. And she also got a lawyer because didn't her job like come out and suspend her?
Right? No, they suspended her. Yeah. They're like, we're going to figure this out. But for now, we're very diverse and all this other stuff. I'm like, come on, man. But wow. Yeah, she's suspended for now, not fired.
Yeah, and she was also 6 months pregnant, and she worked at a hospital in New York City.
She shouldn't be biking in that condition anyway.
Yeah, that's what I was
thinking. She's very ambitious. I was like, wow, good for her. She had just worked 12 hours, and then she was going to bike home. Like, wow, that's honestly impressive. It's like, dang.
I know, by 6 months pregnant with my son, I was like, I can barely walk.
Yeah,
like,
I'm good. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, I felt bad for her because I was like, she's got to be exhausted. I'm sure her feet are super swollen. She cannot want to bike home, but it might be the fastest way to get home, knowing New York City, right? So
in the video, you see basically it's, you know, it's like all those videos, it kind of starts a little bit in the middle. Mm-hmm. So you don't know what really happened before that, but it's clear that there's like a disagreement over this bike, and they're kind of both got their hands on it. I think there's like a dock for the bike for like recharging and stuff.
Mm. Yeah. Whatever.
And so she's like trying to, I think, there's like a struggle. I don't know if it's already been docked and she's trying to take it out, or if he's trying to put it in there to dock it. And so what she said was that basically she paid for the bike and was going to take it out, and then they forced it back in so that they could like pay for it and take it out instead of her. Then there was this receipt that came out that was released by her legal team.
Mm-hmm.
That has a $0 charge on it, which is kind of what I would expect to see if, you know, you took out a bike for like a second,
right,
and then changed your mind and put it back. There's probably a grace period, right?
Like 5 minutes or whatever. Yeah.
But you know, that would be easily tested, or you know, you could get that information from the company.
Yeah.
And so like that corroborates her story. And then they supposedly also have a receipt for it, which would make sense if they did put it back in and then pay for the bike after. So it's possible that we missed some pieces of it, but it kind of sounds like her story was corroborated, and it's not clear if there's other pieces that we're missing on their side of the story. But I mean, the biggest thing is like, we all don't know what happened, but everybody has to have this certain opinion about it. And like, can't we like speculate about things without making final judgment calls on people beforehand?
Yeah.
Well, especially with it being a race issue, everybody just jumps
into
it,
make it into a race.
Oh
issue.
My gosh, it's a
immediately
black guys and this freaking white woman's taking this bike, and clearly about, she's the one that's stealing the bike from them. Or
yeah,
whatever.
And also people talking about her, like, see, she did start crying, and now they're saying like, oh, you're just weaponizing your tears to get people on your side.
She's pregnant. Of course she's going to cry.
Yeah. She's like way emotional.
Yeah.
It said she stops crying quickly after the physical struggle stops. It's like, maybe she just, you know, she wanted to put up a
stoic front. She's like, all right, yeah, I got to get it together.
And she lost it for a little bit and then regained her composure, you know, yeah. But like, you know, that's, no matter how fake it seems in a situation like that, it's kind of hard to, it's kind of hard to judge the way that someone expresses their emotions in a tense situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like the whole filming thing is what really bothers me, because we would never know about this situation if somebody hadn't released this video online. Right. And then, you know, then subsequently, then she gets suspended from her job and gets doxxed. I just feel like these situations we shouldn't even know about, you know?
Right. We never used to know about this kind of stuff, but now it seems like there's a very, like, a literal black and white narrative to push here, right? Because it turns out that Americans actually have a lot in common with each other. And if you're struggling through life in New York City, you probably have way more in common with the person next to you than you have with the person in Ohio or whatever. They need division. I will tell you right now that they want it right before this election. They want to try to push, because this is exactly what happened in the summer of 2020, right? And I refuse, call me a conspiracy theorist, but I still refuse to believe that they just could not control what happened in the summer of 2020. To me, it really felt like they intentionally chose, the governors in these blue states chose to allow this to happen. Like, as I recall, Trump was offering to send National Guard troops to them and they turned him down, because why would you take troops from the mean orange man? Right. And meanwhile, they're literally destroying people's livelihoods and businesses, and in some cases, their actual lives. Yeah. So
it was fine to go to a Black Lives Matter protest, but if you tried to go to the synagogue or church
COVID
or something, they would send FBI agents or local agents after you to spy on you and check on how many people are going. And
right.
Yeah, I mean, clearly they were pretty plainly allowing people to protest throughout, that 9 months of riots, when nobody else was really explicitly allowed to go out unless they were, quote unquote, essential workers.
I'll never remember this paper from, I forget what college in Colorado, I think maybe UC Denver, talking about how actually, scientists agreed that it was fine for you to go protest for Black Lives Matter. You wouldn't get COVID. And I was like, that's great. Oh my gosh. Who knew that science could do that kind of stuff?
Wow. COVID is such a smart virus.
You know, right?
It's an anti-racist virus.
That's I know. Right.
I think the argument was, if it's what I was thinking, what I'm thinking of, is basically they said that racism is such a...
It's a public health crisis.
Yeah, it's such a public health crisis, right, that it outweighs the downsides to go protest, because you're doing, so much good by going to, I mean, obviously not everybody was going out and burning down buildings and causing riots, but there was a lot of that. I remember the first day that it broke out here in Boston, there was this massive looting on Newbury Street, which is kind of our big, that's all the Gucci and those kinds of,
it's the Golden Mile in Boston.
Yeah. And it was just like completely sacked. Like, just every single store was emptied of anything valuable, pretty much. And it's like, okay, so how is this helping
inclusion?
Yeah.
I don't know. Very inclusive. No idea. Yeah, but I do think that they need and want that division. I think they use race because it's so easy to see. Mm-hmm. And that's been simmering. It's something they've been working on in the schools with critical race theory. Mm. We saw that on the subway with Daniel Penny and Jordan Neely. I know the hospital lady has a GoFundMe and Daniel Penny has a Give, Send, Go. And I can't help feeling that we're watching the country separate right in front of our eyes. And I don't know. It's not a civil war, technically, because we're like voting with our dollars, right? We're like, we want justice for this person. We're going to make sure their legal fund is loaded or whatever. First of all, these people shouldn't be tried in the court of public opinion. None of them. And this is why I have such a very strong reaction to people telling me, for example, with this lady, they're like, oh, well, she voted this way. This is what she wanted. And I'm like, no one. I don't care who you voted for. No one deserves to be tried in the court of public opinion before you even have a chance to get in front of a jury of your peers. Seriously, that's not how it's supposed to work. I don't care who you vote for. You are a human being deserving of fundamental human right to line justice, basically. So that was my big deal with it. So you're right about the filming, that we never should have been able to see it in the first place.
There's a lot of stuff that everybody seems to care about that feels like not my business going around these days.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, like it's definitely a new, well, one thing is like everything's kind of accelerating so quickly. And you hear people say things like, oh, they should, you know, they deserve it because they voted this way. They voted for that. And it's like a lot of the people in this, you know, on this side of the political spectrum, like they kind of became, you know, on this side in the last 3 years or something.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of former Obama voters in like the Trump camp.
Yeah.
And like you'll hear them say things like, you know, they voted for these, you know, these liberal policies in these cities. And it's like, so did you like 5 years ago. Can you give these people a break who are just like, you know, a couple of years behind you?
Right.
Yeah, I was just going to say that because you had mentioned filming. You guys were mentioning filming, whatever. To move on to the next story that we were going to talk about.
Another thing that we should never see, but we're going to show you guys anyway.
Right. Oh, good.
Yeah. So we're part of the problem, as they say.
We're not the podcast part of the problem.
Right. So you can maybe give a little background on.
Oh, it was just this viral TikTok trend going around where people walk into random people's houses, which is like terrible, by the way. Like, that sounds like a terrible idea.
What? Oh my gosh.
So
viral robbery trend.
Right. Break and enter.
I think this is from the UK, right?
I think so.
I guess we'll be able to tell by their accents. We'll see.
All right. Yeah, listen.
Can we see?
Walking into random houses, let's go.
That's definitely
UK. Oh wow. The music in the background.
Yeah, right? Everyone just relax. You know.
Okay, so this is just a robbery, clearly, from these people's perspective.
James?
That's a beanie.
You man, come. Hello, James. I need to speak to James.
James?
Hi.
James.
Oh, my God.
It's just where the study group is. Study group.
No.
What? What door number is this?
No.
Study group.
Come on.
Wait, this is not where the study group is.
We got kids, man.
Oh, you got kids? Oh, sorry. Oh, I thought this was the study group. I actually thought. Ain't this the study group?
No. Did the kids say bye? I'm sorry, but that's cute.
What the hell? Oh my god.
He was very polite to those people.
That's what I was thinking. Like,
British, they're very polite.
Yeah.
If that happened in the US, I wonder if that would have went down.
Yeah, that probably would have. Yes. Especially in certain states where if you go in their house, like, get the fuck out of my house, you know, start blasting away.
It's castle doctrine. Someone breaks into your house, they value their presence in your house apparently more than they value their lives. So, bye.
Yeah.
That's dangerous as hell. Holy crap.
Not true where we live currently, I think.
It will be.
But
it will be.
In Florida, I think it is.
And in Colorado, as I recall, there is a Make My Day law, which is very interestingly titled. Sounds like fun, right? It's called Make My Day.
Go ahead.
Make My Day. Yeah. And it's basically stand your ground. Castle doctrine. Mm. Your
name
home.
A cooler name, is
yes,
that it?
Basically. Okay. Yeah, you can look into it if you want to learn more about it. But I thought the name was super great. Yeah, that would be very different in the U.S. But you could probably get away with it in some blue states, although people might be much more suspicious of you entering their home in a blue city. That's not good.
Yeah, I think, I mean, in a lot of blue cities where you would technically it would technically be illegal to, like, fight one of those people for invading your home. Those would probably be the more dangerous places to do that.
They might be prepared for you in ways you don't expect. What did you guys think about that? That's crazy. I hadn't seen that.
Yeah, that's basically my thinking. I'm thinking, like, if this is supposed to be a cute little trend, this is like a good way to get killed.
Yeah.
I hope that doesn't keep happening because apparently it's supposed to be a TikTok trend. I haven't looked at the other videos, but.
So I'm going to make like a reach. Maybe. I don't know if you would consider this a reach, but like the whole freedom of movement thing, the door is open. So if I say, oh yeah, a door's open. Oh yeah, I can come on in. Cool. But
someone else's property.
You just go into someone's property and be like, hey, what are you doing here? Like, no, is this where the study group is? Oh yeah, and just walking around. Like, these people who are like, oh no, humans have the freedom of movement. So there's an example right there where no, you can't just come into my freaking house. Like, how dare you?
That would be then freedom of association, right? I did not choose to associate with you, but I do have a right to own firearms, theoretically, in most of these states. So, you know, your risk, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe you'll see more videos of this from places like the UK, where they're more likely to not have
any weapons.
Artillery? Well, they have weapons. But I heard
firearms in a house in the UK, you almost certainly couldn't shoot anybody.
Right. It would be for hunting only. And I'm sure if you fired a gun in a city setting, you would be gone for life. Last I heard, they were trying to take kitchen knives out of kitchens in England. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, once you get rid of knives, people will start using rocks. So,
I mean, you can use like a icicle.
An icicle would be an interesting weapon.
If you get rid of knives, though, how are you going to cook?
They don't care. They have a knife problem. They're going to get rid of knives.
All the restaurants and fast food places like, oh, hell yeah, more business for us.
Everyone's going to start pureeing everything. It's disgusting. I mean, British food is questionable at best already, but yeah, it's not good.
I hate to sound like, you know, I'm getting up there in age and I got a kid on the way. So maybe it's just that point in my life, but it really feels like kids these days are constantly barraged with anti-capitalist messages and all this, all these adjacent ideological sort of offshoots of this, you know, what's kind of started with, it seems like a traditional Marxism, but that's not really part of the actual, you know, you call it like a curriculum, but it's just coming from every piece of popular culture and things like that, where they're learning critical race theory and all this anti-capitalist stuff and all this anti-human
anti-natalist ideas. Yeah,
and like things like you know, all the systems that exist are there to oppress you, or, you know, if you're an oppressor, then all these systems are here to help you oppress other people because you're a bad person for, you know, how you were born. And so like it makes sense that kids would grow up with a sense of sort of disrespect for other people and their property and their, you know.
Yeah.
And you can see it when you see things like this. It's like that's not that uncommon now, and it didn't used to be. I mean, who knows, like a lot of this probably has to do with those crazy people just have more cameras now.
Yeah, that's true too. They're filming, and they wouldn't be doing this if they didn't have social media, if they didn't have cameras on their phones 24/7.
To be fair, I had a lot of friends that were doing pretty
crazy stuff.
Yeah, we'll say that. Sure.
Kind of illegal stuff. We won't get into it. No,
I didn't say that.
No, never. I think there's this mindset among younger people. It's very nihilistic, right? There's this deep sense of ennui and angst, and other words that are kind of annoying to pronounce.
Other on words.
Yeah. and they don't care, right? Yeah. They don't care about their lives. They don't care about other people's lives. They don't care about babies' lives.
It's like when I was growing up, they had sort of largely stripped religion from society. And so we grew up in this very sort of scientific, almost like science replaced religion in a lot of ways. But then, you know, now it's like they've kind of thrown science out the window and turned it into some, you know,
Weird religion.
They've used that word to describe all sorts of bastardizations of it. And so now there's this kind of, you know, postmodern weird nihilism, basically.
It's hopeless. Like
there's no real moral center, or, you know, other than basically the center of power and oppression and all that critical race theory kind of stuff. But it's not like a real moral compass kind of thing. It's just kind of that person's bad, that person's less bad, and that person's good because they're the most oppressed. And it's a very black and white hierarchical system.
Yeah.
And no real sense of what's right and wrong. Is just a function of like how you can deconstruct society's oppressive ways.
Shortcomings. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, talk about social media, how like the saying that social media isn't real life, right? A lot of people will say things on social media that I don't think they would probably say something in real life, whatever real life is, I guess. But I mean, just the fact that, yeah, like you were saying, I think a lot of it does have to do with social media, where these people have this, like, I hate to use the term, but like this YOLO type of mentality where, oh, you only live once, do whatever you want, you know?
Very nihilistic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is nihilistic. And they make it sound fun because they're like, yeah, let's do it because I only have one life. But if you follow that through to its logical conclusion, you're like, I don't care. You know, I'm here now. Nothing else matters. There is no afterlife, right? I don't care about what happens now. I'm not going to have kids. And this ties back into the happiness thing that we were talking about earlier. There's no future. And you talk about the systems of oppression and power. That turns you on yourself, right? You become the most important thing. And what we've been telling people our age is that you're great the way you are. And you're like, no, actually, I suck. So if I'm great the way I am, that's horrible. And this is Jordan Peterson talks about this. He's like, don't tell people they're fine the way they are, because they're not. And they know it. Like, you can feel it. This is why he gives people practical things to work on, like cleaning your room. And people make fun of him for it. But I'm like, you don't realize what he's saying is really important, because when we've been telling people they're great their whole lives, and then they hit, you know, 18, 21, 25, and they're like, oh, is this it? Yeah. It's really the best I can be? Jeez, dude. It's depressing. That's like suicide. That's antidepressants, and everything tracks, right? That's where we are. We've told our kids they're awesome, and now they're like taking their own lives into their own hands and going into people's houses and doing crazy stuff. And it's like, kind of makes sense. And I feel bad for them. I'm like, maybe we should try to fix this. I don't know.
There is, yeah. There's, I mean, there's an important distinction to make, I think, between like, it, you know, everybody should understand that they're capable of great things, and that they are, you know, there's a lot of greatness in everybody.
Yeah.
And a lot of potential. But you shouldn't just, but it, you know, it's been turned into this thing where you should just be content with whatever state you're in currently. Like, this is the best you can be right now, whatever it is. Right. And then you're going to know deep down that that's not really what you want to be, or, you know, what you think is the ideal, you know, whatever your ideal self would be. So there's going to be a discord and that, you know, and they'll try to fill it with other probably empty
bad things, really bad things, like addictions and, you know, horrible perversions and weird sex stuff. And it's like, yeah, that all tracks, right? I really feel like that's where we are, which is unfortunate. But that took a very dark turn from people just wandering into other people's homes. But that's kind of, that's a weird.
It's a dark turn to take. And
it's unsettling. That's an unsettling trend, right? Like, why would you do that? That's so dangerous. You have to know that. They just don't care. And
it's not just that it's dangerous, but it's also like, from the other people's perspective, that's going to be terrifying.
Yeah.
Because to them, that looks like a home invasion. And it's not like, you know, it's not just because those kids are a certain race or anything like that. It's like you see a bunch of teenage boys barge into your house. That's going to be terrifying.
Yeah.
If you're, you know, you're just a, you know, in your basement and your kids are upstairs. What a, you know, you obviously are going to jump right to the thinking that could be the worst kind of situation. That-
you're immediately in fight or flight mode. Like you guys have a little one. I cannot imagine how you would feel if someone just strolled in through your door. If you guys are like working in the front yard or something, got the baby playing inside, watching TV or whatever. It just walks in. Oh my gosh. I can't even, immediate cortisol spike, like ready to fight with whatever's in your hand. Seriously. That's, but they don't care about other people. Like they totally disregard, like you're saying, people in general. And that's scary. I don't like that. So
what I'm saying, like, if this is happening in the US, even me, like I would consider getting a weapon at that point, you know? So
yeah. Well, you have a right. And I mean,
that's true.
I feel like probably everybody should know how they work. Like this goes along with my philosophy that you should know what a gender affirming surgery looks like. You should know what an abortion looks like. I feel like everybody should also know how a gun works, how it feels, and what it looks like when it's used. So that'll help you feel better about it. And it'll help you kind of figure out how you feel about it in general. Like, this is really dangerous. I don't want to be around anyone who uses one of these. Or you can be like, oh, okay, it's a tool. Good people can use it for positive things. Bad people obviously can use it for really bad things. But it kind of helps you get familiar with it. Mm-hmm. I'm just a kind of a fan of people having all the information available to them.
Yeah, well, we'll end it there on that lovely note. So let everyone know where they can follow you on social media and your show and all that good stuff.
Awesome. Well, we've been try streaming to three different platforms every night. We've been streaming to Rumble, to YouTube, and also to Twitter. Twitter obviously is not specifically well suited for an hour long show. But we do have the show there. We have links to everything over there. And I am Sour Patch Lids everywhere.
Yeah. I'm Andy Leiterman. It's just my name pretty much everywhere.
Twitter. Yeah.
Yeah. Twitter, Instagram, all those. And yeah. And what's the name of your show?
Trad Queen Story Hour.
Trad Queen Story Hour, Sour Patch Lids streams live every weeknight at
7 p.m. Eastern time. Correct. Yes.
And yeah, so we're streaming Twitter, Rumble, and YouTube simultaneously every night for now. But I think we'll probably drop Twitter because it's
now we know.
Yeah, right? Yeah. it's not a great platform for that. Like if you try to watch the stream after the fact on your phone, then you can't jump around in the video, so it's just, you know, and if you turn the screen, then sometimes it like restarts from the beginning.
Yeah,
it's like an hour long video.
So. Not ideal. Yeah. So yeah, Rumble. We're trying to get everybody to go over to alternate social media platforms.
So are we. So,
yeah, it's for the best, and it's better to not have like a single point of failure anyway, right? You don't want just. Mm-hmm. One place to be canceled from.
Yeah. So Trad Queen Story Hour can be found at rumble.com/sourpatchlids and also youtube.com/sourpatchlids if you have to watch it on YouTube. So I'm working for Public Square and we are an app and a marketplace that basically puts together all sorts of freedom-loving businesses in one place so that you can learn how to shop your conscience and find all sorts of patriotic businesses in your area or online.
Correct. Yeah, longest plug ever. Thank you guys so much for having us.
Thanks.
We had a quite great time chatting with you.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I guess we can follow us on Twitter if you want to.
I know you were talking about not having or diversifying your platforms. I'm like, oh crap.
I gotta do that.
Yeah. But yeah, thanks again for coming on. And for all those watching and listening, please tune in next time. Our guest will be Patrick McFarlane. He's the host of Vital Dissent. So we're looking forward to that. And yeah, we'll go ahead and end it there. See ya.
The truck's backing up because they're hearing us. I think it's time to end this episode.
And smash that like button.
Yeah, smash that like
button.
Just
break your computer.
And don't forget to subscribe. Hit that subscribe button.
Bye.
Bye.